Hello! Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called Ghibli and Ghibli Go to the Moon, an original story written for you by our friend Elliot Kalin. Elliot Kalin is a writer who writes with words. He has written comic books, TV shows, and picture books. He has won many awards for his writing, but he doesn't like to brag about it. His newest picture book is called Sharko and Hippo, and it tells the story of a shark who wants to go fishing, but his friend, a hippo, keeps giving him the wrong things. Like when Sharko asks for a boat, Hippo gives him a goat. Elliot likes silly things and being annoying, but he does not like it when people annoy him. We're excited to share his story with you. This month, we'll be donating all the profits from this episode to the Native American Heritage Association, a nonprofit organization that provides support to Native American families in need living on reservations in South Dakota and Wyoming. We'll include a link in the show notes if you'd like to check them out. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Koso and Zuri Deskins and their family, Eloise, Edward, and Estelle and their family in Washington, D.C., Lila and Ivy and their family in San Francisco, Rain Cristiano and Tristan and their family in Bonnie Lake, Washington, and Carrie and Lucy and their family in Farmington, New Mexico. Thank you so much, Lucy, Carrie, Tristan, Rain Cristiano, Ivy, Lila, Estelle, Edward, Eloise, Zuri, and Koso. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. Now here's a word from our sponsors. Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Ghibli and Ghibli Go to the Moon by Elliot Kalin. Ghibli and Ghibli were brothers, or maybe cousins, or perhaps just best friends. Nobody knew for sure. Not even Ghibli and Ghibli. All anyone knew for sure about Ghibli and Ghibli is that wherever Ghibli went, Ghibli was sure to follow. And vice versa. Ghibli and Ghibli were always hatching big plans. Ghibli liked to say he was the brains of the operation. Ghibli, however, disagreed. He felt he was the brains of the operation. But really, they were both wrong. There were no brains of the operation. On a bright, sunny morning, Ghibli and Ghibli were playing in the yard of their small, neat home. They were playing baseball. Ghibli was throwing the ball, and Ghibli was trying to hit it with a base. It was very difficult.
"I wish we were playing bat ball," said Ghibli. "It's a lot easier to hit a ball with a bat."
"But we're not playing bat ball," pointed out Ghibli. "We're playing baseball, so you have to hit the ball with a base. Besides, how would we catch a bat? They only come out at night when we're sleeping." Ghibli thought to himself that Ghibli had made two very good points there.
"You've made two very good points there," said Ghibli.
"Thank you, Ghibli," said Ghibli. "Now get ready for this next pitch." Ghibli gripped the baseball strongly in his hand. He swung his arm in circles faster and faster and faster.
Ghibli was impressed.
This was going to be some amazing pitch. He gripped the base strongly and prepared to swing it at the ball. This needed to be some amazing hit. Ghibli let go of the ball. It went flying in the wrong direction. He had let go of it too early when his arm was swinging away from Ghibli. The ball soared into the air until it was just a tiny little speck, and then it disappeared. Ghibli and Ghibli couldn't see where it had gone.
"Wow!" shouted Ghibli. "What a throw! Did you mean to do that?"
"No, but I think my hand did," said Ghibli. He looked at his hand. "Good throw, hand."
"Huh," said Ghibli, looking up into the sky. "I can't see where the ball went. Can you ask your hand where he threw the ball?"
Ghibli looked at his hand again. "Hand, where did you throw the ball?" His hand didn't say anything. It didn't have a mouth. It didn't even look Ghibli in the eye, because it didn't have any eyes.
"There's only one possible explanation," said Ghibli.
"That the ball got tired of being a ball and turned into a bird?" guessed Ghibli.
"Okay, there are two possible explanations," said Ghibli. "I was gonna say your hand threw the ball so far that it landed."
Here, Ghibli stopped talking, partly because he wanted what he said next to sound very important and dramatic, and partly because he didn't know what he was going to say next. "Did it land on the moon?"
guessed Ghibli.
Yes, said Ghibli. That is exactly what I was going to say. Your hand threw the ball so far, it landed on the moon.
This made Ghibli sad.
I want my ball back, he cried. The only way we'll ever get it back is to go to the moon.
Well, then we're just gonna have to go to the moon, said Ghibli.
This made Ghibli happy. He'd always wanted to go to the moon ever since they first started talking about the moon a few seconds ago.
Yes, we're gonna go to the moon, and we'll get our ball back. And maybe we'll make friends with a moon cat. That's a cat that lives on the moon.
Oh, I know what a moon cat is, said Ghibli. And yes, that will probably happen. But to get to the moon, we'll need a rocket ship, and rocket ships don't grow on trees.
Are you sure? Asked Ghibli, as he looked into the branches of the big oak in their yard.
Well, maybe they grow on rocket trees, but we don't have a rocket tree. That's a pignut hickory tree, which means only pigs grow on it, said Ghibli. We'll just have to build a rocket ourselves.
Oh, great idea, said Ghibli. And you know how to build a rocket?
Well, not exactly, said Ghibli. I was hoping you knew how to build a rocket.
Do I know how to build a rocket? Asked Ghibli.
He took a few minutes to think through all the things he knew how to do. How to bake a pie, how to pet a dog, how to climb most of a tree and then fall down. But no, he did not know how to build a rocket.
We need to read how to build a rocket, said Ghibli. We need to read it in a book about rockets. And we can get that book.
And here he thought very, very hard.
At the library.
And then he had to sit down, because that had been some extremely hard thinking he'd just done.
Great idea, said Ghibli. We'll go to the library. But how will we get to the library?
Ghibli tried to think of an answer, but his brain was still incredibly tired from thinking up the library idea. It was Ghibli's turn to think hard.
We can go in a car. We'll ask our neighbor, Mr. Schlumpy, to drive us in his car.
Great idea, said Ghibli.
And when Ghibli was all recovered from his hard thinking, they walked to Mr. Schlumpy's house and rang the doorbell. The doorbell made a sound like a car horn because, as you are about to learn, Mr. Schlumpy loves cars. Cars are his favorite thing. Ghibli and Ghibli knew that Mr. Schlumpy owned several cars and took special, loving care of them. His house was full of pictures of cars. He slept in a car-shaped bed. He took baths in a car-shaped bathtub, and he only ate mashed potatoes because it was the easiest food to sculpt into the shape of a car. If ever there was someone who would seem perfect to get a car ride from, it was Mr. Schlumpy. Mr. Schlumpy opened the door and scowled at them.
What do you want?
He barked. Mr. Schlumpy was a very cranky man. He was also dressed in a car costume. So even though he was a very cranky man who had just barked, "What do you want?" at them, there was still something a little cute about him. It's hard to be too mad at someone dressed like a car.
Hello, Mr. Schlumpy. It's me, Ghibli.
And me, Ghibli. We were hoping you could drive us somewhere in your car.
Me? Drive you in my car?
Asked Mr. Schlumpy.
To the library, said Ghibli helpfully.
Mah! Never!
Shouted Mr. Schlumpy. Ghibli and Ghibli's hearts dropped.
Why not? Asked Ghibli. You have a car, don't you?
Several of them, responded Mr. Schlumpy.
And you love talking about cars, don't you? Asked Ghibli.
It's the only thing I talk about.
And you like driving cars, don't you?
No, I don't like driving cars, shouted Mr. Schlumpy. I like looking at them. When you drive a car, it makes the car dirty. I don't want to look at a dirty car. Now go away! I was busy watching a movie about cars!
Mr. Schlumpy shut the door loudly.
Mr. Schlumpy isn't going to drive us to the library, said Ghibli to Ghibli, in case Ghibli hadn't been paying attention.
He's not?
Said Ghibli in shock, because, just as Ghibli had guessed, Ghibli hadn't been paying attention.
There's only one thing to do, said Ghibli. We'll just have to walk to the library.
Great idea, said Ghibli. It's right next to the other side of our house.
So they walked to the other side of their house, which was where the library was. But just as they were about to open the library door, they saw something. It was a sign on the door. It said, Ghibli and Ghibli not allowed.
We're not allowed in the library, said Ghibli. Why wouldn't we be allowed in the library?
Huh, said Ghibli. I remember the librarian telling us that we weren't allowed in the library anymore. But why?
Ghibli and Ghibli knew that if they thought hard enough, they'd probably remember. So they thought very, very hard. And they did remember. But for some reason, they remembered it as a song.
I know she said we shouldn't come back, but I can't quite recall why.
Was it something about how the books were wet and they really should be dry?
That rings a bell. It might ring too, or just one that's really big.
It was something about books being wet that made her flip her wig.
Oh, that's right. When we came by, we pulled all the books down.
And then we thought if a big flood came that they'd all sink and drown.
That's just right. If the books all drowned, we thought that'd sure be grim.
Of course, and since we're such smart guys, we taught the books to swim.
We taught the books to swim. We really thought it through. It wasn't just a whim. They'd learn a stroke or two. We didn't have a pool, but we wanted to be nice. So to get the books some practice, thought the toilet would suffice. We threw the books all in and gave the John a flush. And then we watched them spin, all swimming in a rush. And then...
Stop! What are you doing?
Oh, hello, librarian. We're helping.
What have you done to my glorious books? They're all dripping, sopping wet. Of all of my years librarianing, it's the worst that I've seen yet. The pages are flimsy and ready to tear. The covers are soaking and much worse for wear. Ghibli and Ghibli, I'm livid, blowing up. I'm walking away now, but clean this mess up.
She seemed really mad at us. We only tried to help.
If a great big wave crashed on those books, they'd be sinking in the kelp.
Maybe she just didn't see, didn't understand our vision.
There's absolutely nothing worse than drowning science fiction.
We did our best to clean the mess. I know we really tried.
We promised her for sure to get all the books dried.
But there isn't much for drying in our modern libraries.
So we tore the page for towels out of all the dictionaries.
We taught the books to swim, and then when we were through, we wrapped them all up in the dictionary too. We thought we did so well, hit the nail right on the head, but when she came on back, the librarian, she said,
Stop! What are you doing now?
Oh, hello, librarian. We're helping still.
I didn't think it possible, but now you've made it worse. Every child is a blessing, but you too are a curse. Some books are soaked and some are ripped, and pages were flushed during their dip.
Ghibli and Ghibli, I'm angry, no doubt, so I'll ask you to leave now. Please see yourselves out, and this time, do not come back!
And that's why we're not allowed at the library.
Ghibli hummed the end of the song again from his memory. He thought it was a sad memory, but a very fun song.
Ghibli paced back and forth in front of the library door.
This is quite a pickle. We must get into that library. But Ghibli and Ghibli aren't allowed in the library.
And we're Ghibli and Ghibli,
realized Ghibli suddenly.
Thank you. I'd almost forgotten about that, said Ghibli.
Ow!
And then he fell over.
What's wrong, Ghibli?
Asked Ghibli, suddenly very worried for his friend or brother or whatever he was to him.
Are you okay?
I don't know, said Ghibli. I suddenly got an idea. A good idea. And it's taking up too much room in my brain. I must let this idea out before my head bursts.
Tell me, said Ghibli. Please, tell me.
Okay,
said Ghibli, struggling to sit up. I'll tell you the whole idea.
No, said Ghibli, frightened. The whole idea is too big. Just give me half of it, and then I'll keep that half in my head, and you'll keep the other half in your head, and we'll both have just enough idea in each of our heads not to burst.
Great idea, groaned Ghibli. The first half of the idea is that we could get into the library if we weren't Ghibli and Ghibli.
Great idea, said Ghibli, and it fits just right in my head.
And what's the other half that you'll keep in your head? That half is that we could be someone other than Ghibli and Ghibli if we wore disguises.
Great idea. How does your head feel?
Much better, said Ghibli. Thank you for helping me carry the idea. Now, what can we use as a disguise?
Ghibli looked around on the ground, hoping that someone might have left a disguise just lying around. Maybe a spy who was in a hurry and didn't notice that their backpack was unzipped. But there were no disguises on the ground. All he saw was an acorn and a big white feather. They would have to do.
One of us can wear the top of this acorn like a hat, said Ghibli, and the other of us can wear this feather like a mustache.
Great idea, said Ghibli. I'll wear the feather mustache.
He took the big white feather and stuck it under his nose.
How do I look?
Who are you? Said Ghibli. Where did you put Ghibli?
What? Said Ghibli. I am Ghibli.
No, you're not, argued Ghibli. You're an old man with a bushy white mustache.
I am? Asked Ghibli.
He looked at his reflection in the library window.
I am! He shouted.
He jumped back in shock, causing the feather to fall off his face.
Ghibli! Said Ghibli in relief as he hugged Ghibli tightly. You're back! A man with a bushy white mustache was here and he said he was you, but I knew he wasn't.
Oh, maybe you should wear the feather mustache and I'll wear the acorn hat, said a frightened Ghibli.
They switched disguises, and this time Ghibli shouted in fear.
Now Ghibli is gone, and the old man with the white mustache is back.
But I'm Ghibli, said Ghibli.
Oh no, strange old man, said Ghibli. We're not falling for that one again. I'll tug you by the mustache and you'll take me wherever you've put Ghibli.
Ghibli reached out and tugged on the mustache, which came off Ghibli's face easily since it was just a feather stuck in his nose.
Ghibli was overjoyed that Ghibli was back, and they hugged and felt relieved, just like before, only in reverse.
The old man disappeared, but I got his mustache, said Ghibli.
Maybe if we both wear it, we'll be too strong for him to take our place again.
Great idea, said Ghibli.
So Ghibli stuck one half of the feather into his nose, and Ghibli stuck the other half of the feather into his nose. It meant they had to smoosh their faces very close together and walk in kind of a funny, clumsy way. But with a disguise this tricky, it would be easy to get past the librarian, get a rocket book, build their rocket, get to the moon, and get their ball back. This disguise was perfect. This disguise was foolproof. The librarian would never know they were actually Ghibli and Ghibli. They stepped through the library door.
You're not allowed in here, said the librarian.
But we're not Ghibli and Ghibli, said Ghibli.
Yes, we're an old man with a bushy white mustache, said Ghibli.
But the librarian just pointed to the door. Ghibli and Ghibli walked out.
I guess old men with bushy white mustaches aren't allowed in the library either, said Ghibli.
There's only one thing we can do to get our ball back, said Ghibli. We have to sneak into the library.
Great idea, said Ghibli,
who at this point had kind of forgotten how the library and the ball were connected in the first place. He was glad that Ghibli still remembered.
Lead the way.
Ghibli hunched down low, in a sneaky sort of sneaking in posture, and crawled around the side of the library to the back door. Ghibli hunched down low and crawled after him.
We will sneak in, said Ghibli, get the rocket book, build the rocket, go to the moon, and get our ball.
Did you hear that, ball? Asked Ghibli. We'll get you soon, so you wait right here while we do all that.
Ghibli was confused.
Who are you talking to, Ghibli? The ball, said Ghibli. Ghibli turned around to see Ghibli sitting in the grass, holding their baseball.
I found it right here.
Ghibli's eyes almost popped out of his head with surprise.
But that's impossible, he cried out. The ball went up to the moon.
I know, said Ghibli. There's only one explanation. We're on the moon, too.
Of course, said Ghibli. We were on the moon the whole time. We must have always lived on the moon.
I hope I get to visit Earth someday, said Ghibli.
Me too, said Ghibli. And the two brothers, or friends, or perhaps cousins, took their ball back home. Maybe they'd build a rocket some other day. But for now, they and their ball were ready to take a well-deserved nap after a full day of thinking. The End. Today's story, Ghibli and Ghibli Go to the Moon, was an original story written for you by Elliot Kalin and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon, with an original song by myself and Daniel Hines. Don't forget to check out Elliot's fun new book, Sharko and Hippo. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.